Welcome to Take What You Need. Think of this as a weekly catch-up between me and you where we talk about everything. From the mindset shifts that make us better versions of ourselves, to discussing how the media and marketing play an even bigger role in the story of our lives than we might think. Each week, I delve into the questions that you, the listeners, have asked and share my take on the topics that matter the most to you. Let's get started. Hi guys, happy new year in advance. It's the 30th of December 2022. We have literally got 1/1.5 days of the year left, and I'm not gonna lie, this year completely flew by. And even still, in all of its like busyness and how quickly things went, I still think it's worth creating space in your brain to kind of gather your thoughts and prepare for the new year. So to help your self-reflection this new year season, I wanted to share some of the life-changing lessons that this year taught me. And that includes why feeling like you're in no man's land or in a bit of a weird like plateau moment can actually be a good thing. Why quitting is for winners. Why when you pray and when you observe, fewer things come as a surprise. And also, to keep in with the festive theme, life lessons that were also echoed and reflected in the TV show that just came out, The Best Man Final Chapters. You know, pop culture is a big deal to me if you follow me on Instagram, and I think it's because it really just reflects so much of the human condition, even though it's sometimes pitched as like frivolous or inconsequential. So yeah, so let's get started. So when we talk about no man's land, I'll be honest with you, 2022 felt a bit like a no man's land, if I'm honest, for me. It's been a good year, I'm not gonna lie, but it's not been a life-changingly amazing year. It's also not been a terrible year, like nothing crazy terrible happened, relatively, let's say. I'm pausing because I'm like, actually, you know, it's been tough. But either way, it's just kind of felt like, meh. Which, like I've said, is not a bad thing. I've had bad years. I know what a bad year is like. It's not been that, but it still felt weird because it's kind of like, what am I doing? And I just couldn't shake that no man's land feeling. It left me with a sense of like discontent because things weren't really moving or leveling up the way they had in like the year before or the year before that. But again, nothing was bad. So in my reflections over the last like 3 or 4 months, I've just been thinking like, so what is 22 about? Like, what is that? Because it's not really making any sense to me right now. And that led me to my first life lesson from 2022, which is when you arrive, quote unquote, you actually have to start again. Listen to that. When you arrive, you have to start again. That's something that people don't talk about enough. We have this idea, and I'll get into it a bit later, but we have this idea that when we get somewhere, everything's going to be smooth and it's going to be fine. I'd say like one of the contradictions of life is that getting that thing also takes you back to a type of square one. Albeit you're at a new level, albeit you maybe have problems that you would have actually prayed for like 3 years ago, but still, you still feel like you're starting again. I just felt like I was on the rise over the last like couple of years, and then I'm not on a decline, but I was just on like a plateau. And sometimes the language of plateau is so negative in our world because we want to have this system of like, we're continually leveling up, la 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 la, but that life is a series of ebbs and flows. And actually, this whole pressure to continually level up, continued growth. I mean, if you work anywhere near the internet, or if you're a creator of any kind, or you run your business on the internet, there's that pressure to continue to grow. That's not always a reality. I realized that my feeling of being in no man's land came because I'd spent many years in my career up until this point taking leaps and steps to fully align with my purpose, taking risks, taking steps forward, taking steps back to get to a specific goals of, you know, like exploring entrepreneurship or working in marketing, etc., even trying my hand at like talent management. And like many of my peers, when you finally achieve that thing you've been working for, the thing that consumed your time, the thing that consumed your mind for years, you're like, wait, is this it? Wait, what do I do now? Wait, there's still many more things that I want to achieve, but how do I even get there? Do I even still want this? So many other people are experiencing this. Like I said, it's not a negative thing. It's not a bad experience, but it's a disorienting one. It's one that makes them think, okay, the big questions that I thought were answered about, you know, who I am, what I want to be doing. I still have those answers to those questions, but there's something else I have to figure out. And through that ambiguity, I realized that life and success are like climbing a mountain or completing a computer game. It's not always a straight upwards journey towards the peak. It's actually a series of levels, and in each stage or in each level, there are flat surfaces where you really can and should and have to take a break or rest before you continue to scale upwards. It's literally in the geography of the mountain. It has slopes and it has flats. And there's definitely going to be a nature theme in this whole podcast, but even that description of like life and success being a mountain is something we should consider, because not that it's just about the peaks and the heights to scale, but also about the flats and the plateaus, which are there for a reason. I realized that after the peak comes the plateau. I realized that after the peak comes maybe the flat. They don't last forever, but they are so needed. Sometimes you just really need to like catch your breath and take in the view and also look at how far you've come. And once you've done that, and only once, you can prepare yourself to continue to elevate, because the weather, the altitude, the terrain of the next level will require a different version of yourself to successfully navigate what lies ahead. And I'll include a photo of it on the blog that accompanies this podcast episode. The phases of a mountain are so different. You start with a valley, things are green. As you get higher and higher, it's colder in most mountainous regions. It's colder, there's snow, there's less oxygen, the altitude is different, like you have to prepare. And I think that could be a really, really strong metaphor for like the process of life and what comes next. Again, we're continually rising. I'm reminded of a verse in the Bible that's like, the road of the righteous continues to wind upwards. But all because it's winding upwards doesn't mean it's a consistent, like just an incline. I'm just talking about those years or those seasons where things are just fine. You know, you're not having the big headline growth spurts. You're also not declining, you're just like there. And you're taking that time. I've taken a lot of time this year to figure out what comes next, because I realized like so many things that I've been praying for 5 years ago have happened. So now I need a new dream. And I guess this is why the concept of arrival fallacy is a thing, right? This idea that once you get to your goal, everything is smooth sailing. It's untrue, because when you reach a new stage of elevation, you realize that there's still so much more to discover. And it's a good problem, it's a good conundrum, it's a good opportunity to figure something new out and start afresh. So if, like me, your life feels like a no man's land at the moment, maybe you're just preparing for the next phase of elevation. Maybe it's time to reframe, to rethink, and to replenish the tools in your armor. And for me, that most important tool that will help me figure out what do I need to do to kind of continue on this journey of life is getting a fresh vision. That vision sustains you when the practicalities of life don't match up to what's in your mind. That vision is divine, that vision is intuitive, and it will manifest. I think we'll probably do an episode next week or the week after about vision and how I've personally been casting vision. It's something I've been working on for the last like 3 or 4 weeks. And as I cross over into the new year, I'll be like delving deeper into. But for me, the vision has always been the thing that has sustained me in all the ups and downs of life. And being able to cultivate a fresh one for the next 5 years, 10 years is so important to me. I always do visions over plans. Like, I'd rather have a 5-year vision than a 5-year plan. But I'm not gonna go into it too much. We'll talk about that in an upcoming episode. But yeah, that's my first thought. That's my first kind of learning from 2022, which is when you arrive, you actually have to start again. And that's okay. It's not a bad thing. The second thing that I learned this year was that when you pray, fewer things come as a surprise. I probably expand that to like when you pray and when you're observant and when you're honest with yourself, fewer things come as a surprise. I know this might sound a bit spooky and woo-woo, but being keyed into your spirituality is the secret sauce that you need to navigate life. Disclaimer, I'm not saying that you'll be able to predict every single thing. Life is life, right? We're human, things go wrong, things always catch us by surprise, but your insights and your instincts will give you an advantage that you never thought you could tap into otherwise. So let me give you a small example from like the last couple of months in my life. Back in September, I, you know, got this new vision for my life for the next 5 years. I spent a whole afternoon like vision casting. Again, we'll talk about that in the next episode. But one of the ideas that came to surface during that vision casting process was that I would be focusing on a smaller but growing aspect of my business. Let's call them a series of A services. And in my digital journal, in response to this idea or this vision or this revelation that had come up, I asked the question, does that mean I won't be offering another type of service anymore? Let's call them B services. When I get downloads and ideas that kind of surprise me or that I don't fully understand, I write them as questions in my journal. Not every idea that you get, you fully understand at first, but it doesn't mean that you should discount it. It just means that you should make a record of it, and life will reveal clarity as time goes on. Fast forward 2 months, I went through a pretty challenging experience where I had to let go of a client that I was offering B services to. In that process of letting go and having that difficult conversation and trying to navigate, you know, the fallout from that, I started to get multiple inquiries and new ideas for A services. Remember I told you like B services were the thing that I was doing that I felt would reduce over the next couple of years to make space for these new A services that I was thinking of offering but were not as lucrative or as big as other things that I'd been offering in my business. And I thought, what an interesting moment. Now, for some people, it may have felt like scary and unnerving because like the Western economy isn't in a boom phase right now. It's awkward to say no to money, although I have a whole different, you know, mindset about money and scarcity and just like never, money is never, ever, 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 ever a reason why I do something. There's no reason. That's not the reason. It doesn't mean that it's not a factor in whether you take an opportunity or not, but it's never the reason why. I don't think money is a good enough reason to do something because money flows from everywhere. So why would you limit your choices to only going where you think the money is? When I revisited my vision document randomly, like let's say I revisit it maybe like every 3 to 4 weeks, just like when I wanna, you know, get some new inspiration, I came across the fact that I had actually written this down and I had asked myself, remember I told you guys that I asked myself, does that mean that I wouldn't be offering B services anymore? And clearly the answer was yes. And I was like, when you actually pray, less things come as a surprise. Like other people, like I said, it would have been unnerving or a bit scary to kind of let certain situations go, but I just felt like this is right and this is what is needed. And then, you know, certain things happened with the different people that I was interacting with, which to them came as a surprise, and they were like to me, oh my gosh, like, you know, really sorry about that, this has happened. And I thought, I was just like, it's completely fine, because I had already had the insights, I'd already had the peace that this was the direction we were moving in. So I didn't need to have that panic of like, oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? Does this mean that I'm not good at certain things? Does this mean that I failed? No, I didn't have any of that because I'd already known that this kind of evolution was coming. And I don't think that's the last time it's gonna come. I think there's gonna be a series of other things, but you just weren't blindsided by it. And that was really nice because like life has many other things that it blindsides me with. And it's nice to kind of just have a bit of a break. So yeah, in 2022, I really, really saw and learned that when we pray and engage our spirituality, things don't come as a surprise. And when they don't come as a surprise, there's less space for anxiety and worry to take hold. This tracks with what is promised in the Bible in Isaiah 30, where it says, where God says to the people of Israel, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And Jeremiah 33, where it says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. I just love those verses. They mean a lot to me. They're something I keep in mind. And they just confirm, you know, that when you pray, fewer things come as a surprise. Which kind of leads me to my third lesson of 2022. Quitting is for winners. So Stephen Bartlett, the entrepreneur and podcaster, mentioned this in one of his recent posts. And I quote, quitting is for winners. Know when to quit, how to change direction, leave a toxic situation or person, demand more from life, give up on something that didn't work and move on, end quotation. There's nothing more empowering than knowing when to take a step back without the fear of things falling apart. It definitely helps that quitting things is way easier when you've already had that spiritual insight, right? Which is why it's tied to kind of lesson two. When you take a step back from situations, from people, from relationships, from agreements, from partnerships, etc., that no longer serve you, you create space for things of real value to take root in your life. And for me, there's nothing more important than that. Sometimes you really do have to take a step back in order to accelerate in this journey of life. And it might feel uncomfortable, it might feel frustrating, it might feel foreign, but it will always, always pay off. One thing that's definitely come up, and I was looking at different people's stories as they rounded up the new year, was that when you take ownership of a situation, whether that's your career, whether that's your family life, you're gonna have to say no to some people. You're gonna have to stop the people pleasing. You're gonna have to quit the people pleasing. And quitting the people pleasing is for winners. I have had the most difficult conversations in my career this year. I've had to tell people, I don't think it's working out with us working together anymore. I've also had to be told by people that I'm not happy with how you're doing it this way. Can we do it this way? I have had to, you know, say to people that I disagree with their ideas and I think we should take a different direction. I've also had to have boundaries and say like, this is all I can offer right now. And it's worth it because it's created space for new, fresh opportunities and ideas and rest to actually come in. Similarly, with this experience that I mentioned with like A and B services, it created space for more people to get in touch, which has been really exciting. And there are so many new beginnings that lie ahead. So in 2022, I learned that quitting is for winners. And this also applies to things that trigger you. We're so exposed to multiple opinions and ways of living and ideas that people have and standards that people expect. It's easy to think that we're informing ourselves and that we're becoming more intelligent when actually we're creating scope for comparison or frustration and, quite frankly, confusion, which is the absolute worst. The best thing that you can do for your mental health, the best thing you can do for your productivity, the best thing you can do for your life is to start muting and unfollowing and opting out of the things that may push you over the edge. Your well-being will thank you. Quitting is for winners. So what are you leaving behind this year? What are you quitting in order to create space for more of the good? Take a moment to reflect on those questions and maybe write them down. I can't end this episode without paying homage to the Best Man final chapters, which I've been watching over the last like couple of weeks. Before I get into it, I know not everybody knows what I'm even talking about, but basically, if you Google it, The Best Man is like one of the iconic films from the 90s, and I think it came out in like 1999, and then in like 2013, they had a sequel, and this year, they've kind of had like the final chapters, which are like 8 episodes, like I said, of nostalgic goodness, and it basically follows where the cast from the very first 2 movies, where they are now. And obviously that's been like 25 years of their life, right? At the beginning, I think they were in uni or maybe in their early 20s, and now they're like in their 50s. One thing about this show that always intrigued me was how the creators released the sequel during the Christmas season. And it had such a sad ending. If you watch it, you know what I'm talking about. So when this third installment came, I approached it with a bit of caution and I was just like, please, I just need to be happy. It's Christmas. Like, I don't need any shocks like I had before. And to be honest, it didn't disappoint. I've already said before, it felt like a warm hug. But as we catch up with the original cast 25 years on from the first film, we also see that while they have their happy endings, there are also challenging things in life to navigate, like raising children, marital struggles, identity struggles, health struggles, and so much more. Basically, everything that we all experience in our lives. Just normal stuff. I say that in air quotes, normal stuff, but normal stuff that's hard. Watching this show held up a mirror to the thoughts that I've been having about life lately. I've been wondering, like, what's the point of all of this? Why is life so challenging? Like, why can't things be easy? Like, why are we still creating opportunities and moments for joy that also enable grief? Why can't things just be easy? Why do people get married and us? Why are they so excited about the life that lies ahead and then things just don't work out the right way? Like, what is the point of all of this? Seeing that duality of joy and difficulty on display throughout the show just reminded me of those questions that I've been asking and the discussions that I'd then been having with friends around these unanswerable big life questions. And there is an element of the fact that, you know, like, time and chance happen to us all, in the sense that ease and difficulty happens and we kind of just have to accept it. But more specifically, that there's actually beauty in chaos, and that's okay. And that's my final lesson of 2022, that there's beauty in chaos and we should embrace it. For example, like, again, if we look at nature, remember earlier I was talking about mountains, if we look at nature, the sea and the ocean is stunning. Like, swimming is a restorative, beautiful process. Water in and of itself is essential to human life. It's fantastic. Whereas at the same time, the ocean is dangerous. The ocean is life-threatening. The ocean hides creatures that we don't even know, we haven't even seen. Even in the ocean, there's like beauty and there's like chaos or like difficult things, there's danger. And similarly, again, like looking at like human biology, I've been speaking to a lot of mums and new mums lately, and the birthing process, the labor process in and of itself, obviously can be life-threatening, but is also so fruitful and so such a miracle and so beautiful. And birthing mothers are advised to not resist or run from the labor pains. They're taught to embrace and move with the flow of it. Even in the pain of labor, you start to experience more value and more joy when you move with it, right? And this idea that when you embrace pain and when you embrace difficulty, beauty is on the other side of it. Or when you create beauty, just know that sometimes difficulties are on the other side of it too, and that's okay. In all of nature, this duality exists. I could go on for ages with so many other examples. So why do we resist it? Why do we treat difficult things happening as like an anomaly or the reason why we're never going to touch XYZ again? You know, people say, I was heartbroken, so I'm never going to love again. And it's like, why? And I even remember, like, Lauren London saying when her partner died that grief is the final act of love. And just this idea that, again, like, there is beauty in chaos and we should embrace it, and we should just, we have the ability to live through it, we can handle it. And it makes those joyous seasons much more robust, but it's also part of the human experience. And one of my big realizations was, not only is there beauty in chaos, but I feel like I'm, like, adulting in the biggest way ever that I've adulted. In the past, sometimes, like, so many things have gone wrong this year, whether it's, like, business, whether it's, like, personal struggles, whether it's health struggles, whether it's family, like, things have gone wrong. And I had a day in November where three major issues in work, family, and my personal health all compounded on that single day, like, bad news after bad news, stress after stress. And I was just like, I woke up in the morning and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get changed. Like, normally I'm actually gonna do my makeup. In another world, in another time, I would have just, like, worn, like, a sack. Not a sack, but you know what I mean? I would have worn, like, scruffy clothes and just, I would have looked how I felt. I just put myself together. I was like, I am here to get on with my day. It doesn't mean that I'm feeling all the things. I'm experiencing all the things, but I'm also, I also have the ability and the agency in my life to continue and to try and show up as the best version as I am able to in that moment. It just really taught me that actually sometimes peak adulting is just, like I say, you know, you can't cry, you can't beg, you've just got to move on with whatever's in front of you in life right now. We have these huge expectations. We try really hard to control outcomes, but still life can be difficult no matter how much you plan and prepare, and that's okay. It doesn't mean that it's not worth it. It doesn't mean that the experiences that we have aren't beautiful. And the quicker we come to terms with this, the more we get to enjoy this exciting and sometimes bewildering life. I'd love to know what 2022 taught you. Let me know on Instagram or in the comments. I wish you a super, super happy new year, and I'll see you in January.